WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org.
Oh, people, people, don't you love this earth? Share with everything that grows. Don't you want to taste freedom, peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
Up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry.
See a windmill go, feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you could join us for this Ecologic Special. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Donna Stein, and this is a special Ecologic for May 31st, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
We want to thank Catherine Davis for all her efforts putting together this fun drive to support WBAI and for scheduling this time for us to visit with you in this time slot. Today we have a good news for you, a lot of good news for you. The potential for a massive amount of solar energy, a delay giving Oak Flat Apache more time to be heard, and revitalization without commercialization of Liberty State Park. Yay. Plus news that's more alarming, such as Chevron's greenwashing, new reports of the effects of a major volcanic eruption in Tonga, a truly awful Supreme Court decision limiting the Clean Water Act. We also report on orcas attacking sailboats and the rally to save the river in Cortland, New York, and the Golden Rule's very rainy visit to Liberty State Park in Jersey City. Also, we have interviews with experts on bottled water and the plastic it comes in, experts on butterflies and on the health effects of indoor plants, and an interview with the filmmaker of The River That Harms, which is about the Church Rock Rio Puerco nuclear disaster that befell the Diné of New Mexico.
You can regularly find us at 6 a.m. on Saturdays. Longtime WBAI listeners may remember Ecologic at various times, mostly on Tuesdays, and most recently on Friday afternoons until December, when we were moved to our current time, 6 a.m. on Saturday. Early birds are welcome to start the day with us. Others can always find us on WBAI archives and on ecoradio.org.
Before we give you some environmental news, we should let you know who we are. I'm Sally Gellert, your New Jersey co-host. I'm a member of Radical Elders, InterOccupy, and Democracy Watch News, and a longtime environmentalist. I'm a co-chairperson of Unitarian Universalists for a Just Economic Community. I've been working with the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition since 2011, and now I'm part of the National Radioactive Waste Coalition. I see myself as a connector of groups working on diverse issues.
I'm Ken Gale. I started Ecologic in 2002. I've been an environmentalist most of my life. I started out as a birder and nature lover, still am, and have been a major part of a number of environmental successes I can be proud of, such as helping to stop uranium mining near New York City's Catskill Reservoirs and helping to get New York's commercial net metering law passed in 2008, which has saved thousands of megawatts of electricity, enough to power over a million homes in the first 10 years alone. I'm the author of Chernobyl on the Hudson and an eco-horror story in an anthology comic book. And I maintain Ecologic's website, www.ecoradio.org.
And I am Donna Stein. I am active with New York City Friends of Clearwater and Hudson River Sloop Clearwater and on the board of directors of both. I have been a grassroots activist for decades on a focus on the environment, anti-war, and human rights issues. What else is there? Another passion of mine is kayaking, every chance I get, especially kayaktivism. Unfortunately, I am not able to always be live on Saturday mornings, but I'm always involved in producing the show and going live when I can.
We try to start every show with good news. From environmentamerica.org comes this encouraging analysis of the potential for solar energy on warehouse rooftops. Solar power is the fastest growing form of energy in the United States, thanks in large part to its low and rapidly dropping price and to supportive public policies in some parts of the country. But the United States has the technical potential to produce 78 times as much electricity as it used in 2020 just with solar photovoltaic energy. The flat, open, sunny roofs of medium and large warehouses and distribution centers are perfect locations for solar panels. The United States has nearly 500,000 such buildings, with more than 16 billion square feet of rooftop space. That's about twice the area of the entire city of Memphis, Tennessee. And the number of warehouses in the U.S. has been growing fast, especially during the first few years of the COVID-19 pandemic, with more than 626 million square feet of warehouse space under construction in the first half of 2022. Producing electricity on rooftops, close to where the electricity will be used, reduces energy loss from electricity transmission and distribution. Just over 5% of gross electricity generation in 2020 was lost during transmission. Local generation also reduces the need for new utility-scale generation and for transmission infrastructure. It reduces the damage to fragile ecosystems or an extra burden on environmental justice communities or both. The large-scale project can cause. Solar power also makes the grid more resilient to outage and disruption.
We've talked about how something in one part of the world affects another part of the world and how atmospheric changes even affect baseballs. Here's something out of this world. A volcanic eruption underwater near 159 islands of the Kingdom of Tonga in the South Pacific. A new study found that the volcanic eruption last January was powerful enough to generate plasma bubbles that disrupted radio communications in outer space. Surely, the makers of those satellites never expected that a volcano, underwater no less, would affect their technology. Once again, Earth reminded us that nature is more powerful than our technology. The event literally touched every corner of the globe as the pressure waves spread out in all directions to complete a full navigation, circumnavigation. The resulting tsunami was far-reaching and devastating. NASA's James Garvin, chief scientist at the Goddard Space Flight Center, told NPR that the space agency estimated the blast to be about 500 times as powerful as the bomb dropped in Hiroshima, the largest non-nuclear explosion on Earth in decades. From satellites watching with infrared sensors above, the wave looked like a ripple produced by dropping stone in a pond. The pulse registered as disturbance in the atmospheric pressure lasting several minutes as it moved over North America, India, Europe, and many other places around the globe. Online people follow the progress of the polls in real time as observers posted their barometric observations to social media. The wave propagated around the entire world and back in about 35 hours. It was only the recent study that reported the effects on the satellites. Ecoradio.org links to the article on space.com from May 22nd.
How can you make your home or office healthier? Most of the immense amount of plastic in our homes and offices off-gas formaldehyde, which is unhealthy to breathe. Indoor plants will turn that gas into food for themselves and give off oxygen in return. You'll want to listen to what these indoor plant experts have to say about how indoor plants improve your health and well-being.
Now, you mentioned that plants are more or less the same in the benefits they give us, but they're not more or less the same as far as what we should have in our homes and offices. Could you give us a few, for instances?
Well, the criteria you have to look at to put in a plant or choose a plant for your home or the office are essentially the same. It's all driven by light, a temperature range that's acceptable to people, which will also make it acceptable for keeping plants alive, and your humidity levels. The primary drive is always the light. You determine how much light you have, and then you back in to the range of plants that will live in those light conditions.
So how do you find that out?
Well, low, medium, and high light is how we tend to classify plants. Indirect light or artificial light would tend to be more low light conditions as you move closer to the window and certain minimum hours of sunshine, direct sunshine, say 2 hours a day, you're moving it to mid, and then high light would be more than that. And then you just choose plants that are appropriate to that.
So if you have a desk in the middle of the office or your living room and you want to put a plant, you're talking about, even though if you have a well-lit, you want a medium light or low light plant?
If it's well-lit, you're talking medium to high light. If you're in the away,
even though it's not sunlight, even though it's artificial light.
Oh, absolutely.
Light.
Yeah, there's plenty of plants that will live under fluorescent lighting, incandescent lighting, indirect lighting, bounce lighting from the window throughout the space.
Fluorescent lighting is kind of interesting because there are no cloudy days. There are no rainy days. It's very even. No leaves get burnt. And provided the lights are on 8 or so hours a day, it really is sufficient. What they have found is the best is to have one cool and one warm tube, ratio of 1:1, that benefits the plants the most.
When you say, what does that mean?
You know, for example, let's say you have a fluorescent light above your desk and maybe there's four tubes. So if there's too cool and too warm, the plants react best to that.
Now, what about a home where you have a compact fluorescent light bulb, the kind that uses, you know, way less energy?
Any light that's available is going to benefit a plant.
It's that simple.
I didn't even realize that.
Now, how do you know which plant fits which light condition? If that's the major thing, there's a lot of plants at department stores. There's no one to ask. Are they usually labeled?
Well, that's really one of the votes to go to us as opposed to an department store.
I was going to say that in a second, Madeline, because really, truthfully, Ken, this is one of the things where when you hear any negatives over the years about the problems that you find that people have health conditions, either in the home or in the office, you can a 99.9% track that to it being not professionally taken care of and or selected. So I'm not saying don't do this at home because it's America's favorite hobby. Absolutely everybody's going to do it at home. But get professional help. I mean, I really do.
Is that all of us? Or?
Boy, God knows I need it. What Madeline is saying is that there is a science. These people have gone to a lot of school and have done a lot of very large, majestic projects to find
how
out.
How did that happen?
To find
That's
out.
That's interesting.
You know, exactly this amalgam of light and air and what you need to have the perfect hardy plant for that area. And I think that that's where you do call somebody, off the plantsatwork.org website that's in your area and say, can you come over and do a consultation with me?
There is so much literature having to do with plants. If somebody wishes to, there is really no problem about researching which plant is where. It is a mixture. I like to say it's a marriage of science and art. The art without the science doesn't work. The science without the art doesn't work. It's a beautiful mix.
Mm-hmm. And there's also the thing of since now you have a living thing in your place, somebody has to take care of it. And certainly hear a lot of people, oh, I don't have time to take care of a plant, or I'll forget and kill it, and nobody wants to kill anything. Mm-hmm. So I guess there's some plants that are hardier than others.
But it's like a puppy. You know, you get a puppy home, you have to know what to do. You have to care for it.
And I think some people don't get puppies for that very reason. At least they have respect for the puppy.
Right. But
one very good bit of news today is that plants, on a relative basis, are less expensive than they were 20 years ago. The cost of plants, and whether that's retail or at the commercial level, as Madeline and I provide, are lower compared to the increase in the cost of living. Making it a very, very good value. It's an inexpensive way to decorate and do all the other wonderful things we've spoken about. But my point being, don't get too attached to the plant. You know, it's easy for us to go by the corner store and bring home a bunch of daisies for a few dollars, and it'll stay on the table for a week, and then we'll throw it out. Well, don't think that the plant has to last forever. Even if you have a quote-unquote black thumb, and that's often why people say, I can't take care of a plant because I have a black thumb, it's still worth trying. You can experiment with it. You can try it. There are hardier ones than.
So if one kind of plant doesn't work, try another kind.
Exactly. Yep. And if it lasts 6 months or a year, you get the beauty of it. You get all the wonderful health benefits, and then you buy another one.
I've been telling clients for the last 25 years, plants generally cost less than 1% of your commercial office budget, but they give 40% of the image. When you walk into an office that has plants, you know it's a taken care of office.
And I remember a girlfriend I had years ago gave me a coleus for a present, her thought being, well, since I'm going to forget and I'm away a lot and everything else, and that it's a hardy plant, and if I forget to water it, sometimes it'll survive it. And I went away for 4 weeks, and the person who was supposed to take care of my apartment never watered the plant for 4 weeks. I came back, and it looked dead. And in desperation, since it was a girlfriend who gave it to me, I said, oh, you killed Donna's plant. And I put water on it, and it came back to life.
Sure. 4 weeks. They want to live. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, after 9/11, I remember going to One Liberty Place to our clients in One Liberty, and we hadn't been able to get into the building for some weeks, and it was wonderful that all the plants were alive. We really lost very little.
Yeah.
And Canicoleus, by our definition, is a very difficult plant. It needs a lot of light and a lot of water and a lot of attention. There's a lot.
I didn't do that.
There's dozens. Yeah. There's 100 plants that are easier to care for.
Wow. We're also not talking about sub-irrigation. One could do sub-irrigation and not be dependent on watering.
That was part of an interview with MJ Gilhooly, John Minnie, and Madeline Simon on how indoor plants improve your health and well-being. The full interview is available to you as a single CD for a $35 donation, or as part of a package with three other CDs for a donation of $75, including interviews about the one-year anniversary of the BP blowout in the Gulf of Mexico, bottled water and the plastic it comes in, demystifying the electricity grid, and fracking. We'll play more from those interviews later in the show.
Listening to an Ecologic two-hour special right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
You're going to love the special premium created for this fun drive. It's called The Best of BAI, Shows and Favorite Hosts, and is yours for a donation of $99. Ecologic has contributed snippets of best episodes as well as some of the environmental music we play. We're sure that you'll enjoy listening to these programs from past and present WBAI shows. You may be familiar with some, others may be new to you, but you're sure to appreciate the wide variety of WBAI programming. Call 212-209-2950 to become a member and get one of these special premiums for a donation of $99. That's 212-209-2950.
And while you call, and we hope you will, enjoy this song from the New York City Metro Raging Grannies. They totally make mini rallies and hearings much more fun. They present the issues with poignant satire. Among the many issues they sing about is climate. Here is the climate, it is a changing. Lyrics by Molly Walsh of the Montreal Raging Grannies, revised by Sonny Armour of the New York City Metro Raging Grannies.
Come gather round, people, we want you to hear. Our ozone depletion is something we fear. The ice cap is melting, hot future is near. If the earth to you is worth saving, goodbye to the comforts we all hold so dear. For the climate, it is a-changing. Our planet cannot continue this way. Warming brings storms and disasters each day. So listen quite closely to all holes in the ozone are hardly a joke. Our atmosphere's rearranging. Let's clean up the planet before we all croak. For the climate, it is a-changing. We value the earth, to us all it belongs. We're all in the same boat.
Was the New York City Metro Raging Grannies singing The Climate, It Is a Changing. We have a number of Raging Grannies CDs as premiums on ecologic.wbii.org. That song is from Still Aging, Still Raging, which can be yours, all 21 songs, with your donation to WBI of just $35. The CD has 21 humorous and poignant songs about many political and social issues, including women, climate, children, immigrants, racism, free speech, peace, gay pride, Mamiya, Wall Street, healthcare, vets, housing, and corporations. Bottled water is very fashionable these days, but what are its effects on the environment? Ruth Kaplan and Sandra Steingraber give us the environmental, economic, energy, sociopolitical, and health aspects of bottled water and the plastics it comes in. Here is an excerpt from the interview.
So we get, you know, an awful lot of ads and pictures on bottles of how wonderful bottled water is, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Nestle has a lot of brands, and one of its brands is Ice Mountain. It makes it look like it's coming from the Rockies or something like that. It's really coming from Michigan. So there's a lot of deceptive advertising that they're doing. The first thing that people need to know is that when you drink either Dasani or Aquafina water, that's put out Dasani by Coca-Cola and Aquafina by Pepsi, that is simply tap water, which has been put through some extra filters and then sold for many, many times the cost of tap water. I did a little study in Boston and found that those two brands were about 1,200 times the cost of turning on your tap.
So that's 200 times more than 1,000 times the cost of a tap. And I should mention that one of the places that Coca-Cola bottles their Dasani water is right here in Queens. In Masspath, Queens, they bottle Dasani water. So, and it's New York City tap water. And it's interesting that a company that was called New York City Water, they bottled New York City water and were upfront about it. Well, they went out of business. Whereas Coca-Cola can bottle New York City tap water, call it something else, and everybody goes, oh, this is so much better than New York City water.
The other company that is actually number one in bottled water sales is Nestle, and they bottle under a number of different brands. And in the New York area, the brands that you're most likely to get are Poland Spring, which comes from Maine, and also Deer Park, which is bottled in Pennsylvania. Now, these are spring water sources. And what it's important to know is that bottled water is not regulated by the Environmental Protection Agency like our municipal water is. It's regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. Somehow there's an amazing transformation that once water goes into a bottle, it's no longer water, it's a food. Would you believe it? So FDA does not do inspections itself. It depends on the industry. They're only required to test once a month. And as a result, there have been a lot of studies showing the problems with bottled water. And, for instance, the Natural Resources Defense Council did a study looking at 1,000 different bottles of 103 brands of bottled water. They found contamination exceeding allowable limits in at least one sample from about a third of the brands. This is included. They found synthetic organics, bacteria, and arsenic. The other thing that's come up recently is that they're finding that as soon as another study done in Europe, not the NRDC, has found that as soon as you cap the bottles of water, antimony starts to leach into the water. And after 3 months, the level of antimony, which, of course, is toxic, has risen by 175 times. So there's quite a few problems just with the water that goes into the bottled water. The problems with the plastic itself is a whole other set of concerns.
Well, let me chime in here with a couple of ecological observations as well. I mean, in addition to these kind of amazing revelations that Ruth is offering us, I'd like to add that even if the bottled water were everything the advertising claimed it was, and far more pure and safe than our tap water. In fact, two things. First of all, we all have an intimate relationship with our tap water, whether we drink it or not. And that's because most of our exposure to chemical contaminants in tap water don't come to us through drinking, but rather through inhalation. And that happens every time you turn on your dishwasher or you step into a shower, or you turn on your washing machine or even flush your toilet and create turbulence, the volatile contaminants will evaporate into your airspace and you will breathe them in. And when we've quantified this, it turns out
when you say volatile contaminants, what do you mean?
Well, I'm talking about things like byproducts from chlorination. These are things called trihalomethanes. I'm talking about pesticides, or in the case of my hometown drinking water, there were trace amounts of dry cleaning fluid, perchloroethylene. So these are volatile, meaning they quickly evaporate, and when you raise the temperature of the water, for example, by taking a shower, it turns out that bathing and showering is the exposure equivalent of drinking a half a gallon of tap water. So you can drink all the bottled water you want from France or Iceland or Fiji, but you take a 10-minute shower, and that's the exposure equivalent of drinking a half a gallon of tap water. So we cannot opt out of the water cycle. We are a part of our drinking water, whether we carry bottled water around or not. And in fact, you might remember those children that were profiled in the movie and book called A Civil Action. Very good book, sort of mediocre movie starring John Travolta. Those kids in Woburn, Massachusetts, their parents alleged there was a cancer cluster of leukemias in those kids from contaminated drinking water. Interestingly enough, part of what came out in the trial was that many of that water was so contaminated it tasted bad. So, in fact, a lot of the parents bought bottled water for their children to drink. They got leukemia anyway, and the route of exposure was through the contamination of indoor air. So we really can't save ourselves by drinking bottled water. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that even if this water were so much better for our health, it's just not a sustainable option to tap water. I mean, water is heavy. It weighs 8 pounds a gallon. And spending all this fossil fuel transporting water from France, Iceland, Fiji, wherever, to us here in New York State, it's just not a sustainable practice. Ruth made mention of the manufacturing and disposal of the plastic bottles itself. That's something I've done some investigative work into. And the environmental impacts of that are considerable. So I actually follow the noted economist Monica Hargraves in my thinking on this. You know, Monica has flown around the world and helped nation states with their currency, has helped start a local currency here in Ithaca. And she's also a master composter. And when people ask her, well, how does composting and economics fit together? She'll say, well, I like both things because I hate waste. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel as an ecologist. Drinking bottled water is a very wasteful practice. It's not like organic food. And so whether you're motivated by your own health to think about drinking water or whether you're motivated by larger ecological concerns and a concern for generating more waste, in either case, whether you're thinking collectively or individually, bottled water really doesn't make sense.
And just to add to what you said, Sandra, the figures that we have, it's about 10 billion bottles of plastic a year that gets thrown along the roadside and into our landfills.
10 billion with a B?
Yes, with a B. And it's not the companies, the corporations that are paying for that landfill cost. It's taxpayers.
And I want to add something to that. I have heard that Coke no longer bottles New York City tap water as Dasani water anymore. And I always wondered about that because I called around various city agencies, city councilmen, mayor's office, all over the place. What happens if there's a drought? Does Coca-Cola get the water or do the people of New York City get the water? No one could answer me, and they shuffled me around from agency to agency to agency. There were agencies that I never even heard of that I ended up talking to, and I don't know if that consciousness about droughts, possible droughts, is why. Because Coca-Cola is not going to want to give up bottling our water if there's a drought, so you know, they may not want to do it anymore. But at any rate, drought protection is important with bottled water. Both Coca-Cola and Pepsi bottle municipal water from all over the country.
To hear the full interview, the CD can be yours for a donation of $35 or as part of the Ecologic 4-CD set for $75. That clip is included also as one of the many things you'll hear on the Best of BAI Thumb Drive for a $99 donation. Call 212-209-2950 or go to the website ecologic.wbai.org. Leave out the www.
Dr. Sandra Steingraber is one of my three favorite environmentalists. I put her on the same level as Rachel Carson and Pete Seeger. All three were or are knowledgeable, great at communicating that knowledge, and most importantly, inspired many others to become environmental activists.
Current orca behavior is capturing the attention of sailors and reporters, as we've seen similar stories in numerous outlets. Orcas in Spain are attacking sailboats, in three cases actually sinking them. We hope people will not overreact. The reason for this behavior is not clear. One likely theory is that it was started by one traumatized orca, but it might simply be play, especially for the young orcas who seem to be copying their elders. Monica Whelan-Shields, director of the Orca Behavior Institute in Washington State, says, I think it gets taken as aggression simply because it's causing damage, but I don't think we can say that motivation is aggressive necessarily. Orcas sometimes exhibit faddish behavior. such as a group of southern resident killer whales who carry dead salmon on their heads for a short while and then suddenly stopped. This may be such a fad. It seems that young orcas are copying their elders. Whether they have a deliberate purpose has not been determined, while they are certainly going specifically for the rudders, disabling the boats.
An article in LiveScience.com included this report from the German magazine Yacht of a May 4th encounter. Skipper Werner Schaffelberger said, "There were two smaller and one larger orca. The little ones shook the rudder at the back, while the big one repeatedly backed up and rammed the ship with full force from the side. The two little orcas observed the bigger one's technique, and with a slight run-up, they too slammed into the boat. Spanish coast guards rescued the crew and towed the boat, but it sank at the port entrance."
Alfredo Lopez Fernandez of the University of Aveiro in Portugal said that most encounters have been harmless. In more than 500 interactions recorded since 2020, there are 3 sunken ships. We estimate the killer whales only touch one ship out of every 100 that sail through a location. The orcas are doing this on purpose. Of course, we don't know the origin or the motivation, but defensive behavior based on trauma, as the origin of all this, gains more strength for us every day. However, an NBC story points out that if this were motivated by self-defense or revenge, humans have given orcas many more reasons over the decades. Monica Shields says, "We know their brains are wired to have really complex emotions, and so I think they could be capable of something like anger or revenge. But again, it's just not something that we've seen any examples of. And we've given them plenty of opportunities throughout the world to want to take revenge on us for various things. And they just choose not to." She says it's more likely to be playful or bad. There are examples. And this might be more
They are incredibly curious and playful animals, and so this might be more of a plaything as opposed to an aggressive thing.
We just don't know. As this behavior continues, there is increased concern not only for sailors, but also for the Iberian orca subpopulation. Let's talk about the orcas themselves, which is listed as critically endangered. The last census in 2011 recorded just 39 Iberian orcas, according to the 22 study. We hope that sailboats and orcas can both thrive, sharing the seas off the Spanish coast.
From Earth Justice comes analysis of the really terrible Supreme Court decision on the Clean Water Act. In a 5-4 decision, the court eliminated longstanding Clean Water Act protections for wetlands that lack a, quote, continuous surface connection to larger bodies of water. Almost 120 million acres of formerly protected wetlands now face a threat to their very existence from polluters and developers. Earth Justice submitted an amicus brief on behalf of 18 tribes who depend on clean water for food, economy, and culture. But the court rejected their concerns in favor of deregulation that serves industry at the expense of people downstream who rely on clean water.
The conservative justices went out of their way to rewrite the Clean Water Act and gut wetlands protection. Even Justice Brett Kavanaugh found this ruling extreme, pointing out that the majority had replaced adjacent waters with adjoining waters, directly contradicting the plain text of the Clean Water Act. We would never have expected to be quoting Justice Kavanaugh in support of the environment, but his strict adherence to the text of the law makes clear the problem with the court's decision. He wrote, "Put simply, the court's atextual test, rewriting adjacent to mean adjoining, will produce real-world consequences for the waters of the United States and will generate regulatory uncertainty. I would stick to the text. There can be no debate, in my respectful view, that the key statutory term is adjacent and that adjacent wetlands is a broader category than adjoining wetlands. To be faithful to the statutory text, we cannot interpret adjacent wetlands to be the same thing as adjoining wetlands."
The court is not supposed to rewrite laws, and that is what it is doing here. For all the times we complain about originalism, by conservative judges? Here is a case where the plain language of the law is being rewritten by activist conservative justices. There is a difference between interpreting laws in a conservative way and rewriting laws in a conservative way. They were out of bounds, and this needs to be addressed by Congress.
We do have some good news about clean water. The New York State budget, which recently passed, provides another $500 million for the state's Clean Water Infrastructure Act, bringing the state's total investment in clean water infrastructure through this fund to a total of $5 billion since 2017. The money is to be used to promote separating combined sewer systems, to upgrade aging storm and wastewater infrastructure, to protect streams and wetlands, and to promote safe drinking water.
I want to thank Mana Jo Green for that updated information and thank her for her 22 years of service as the Environmental Action Director of Hudson River Sloop Clearwater. Her retirement is well-deserved, but we know she's still going to be fighting for the environment.
And here's some celebratory music. Life on Earth, So Amazing, Hallelujah. From a special premium, the New York City Labor Chorus, We Shall Overcome CD. We talked to Jeff Bogle about his inspiration for writing new lyrics to that special music. Here's what he told us.
I decided I'm going to write new words for the whole Messiah. The earth-oriented words, that I'll just try the Hallelujah chorus. And I got the arrangement that we sing from my brother-in-law, and I came up with these new words. Originally, I thought it was going to be all secular. Then I decided to keep Hallelujah in there, because Hallelujah, you know, it means literally praise God, but we also use it, you know, more broadly when we're happy about something, or Hallelujah. So I was, you know, very aware of the treading on this iconic piece of sacred music. So when I came up with these new words, I actually, you know, checked with my brother-in-law and his wife, who are very active in their church, but very open-minded. And they felt these new words were in the spirit of the original, so that they were fine with it. You know, our choral director is from a church background, and she actually still conducts a church, a children's church choir in Staten Island. And our keyboard player is a music director of his church, and he's invited us. We've sung there on a couple of occasions, and we sing this Hallelujah chorus in his church. Yeah. And then we sang it up at the Union Theological Seminary in the James Chapel there. We sang it there as well.
That was the New York City Labor Corps singing Life on Earth, So Amazing, Hallelujah. The chorus generously donated copies of their CD, We Shall Overcome. Get one as a gift with your $35 donation to WBAI. That song is on the Best of BAI shows and favorite host thumb drive, along with other environmental music we have played here on Ecologic. It's available to you for a donation of $99.
You're listening to a two-hour special of Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Donna Stein.
And I'm Ken Gale.
There was a great rally to save the river on May 6th with hundreds of people gathered in Cortlandt Park along the Hudson River, a little south of the Indian Point nuclear plant, where Holtec Corporation has been planning to dump radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River.
Ken, Donna, and I drove up with Charlie Olson from the Environment TV. While Donna kayaked in the flotilla, we were able to interview a number of the speakers and activists. The New York State bill to prevent the dumping of radioactive waste into the Hudson River had only recently been announced, and Ken was able to talk to New York Senator Pete Harkin. Here's the interview.
First, introduce yourself and then talk about the bill.
All right. New York State Senator Pete Harkin, 40th Senate District. Indian Point is in my district. I was one of the co-founders of the Decommissioning Oversight Board, worked with Assemblymember Sandy Galiff and the former governor to set that up. And so the backdrop is we were alarmed to learn that Holtec not only would be doing this discharge, but this has been going on for decades, both Entergy and Con Ed, also happening up in the Great Lakes with the two nuclear power plants on Lake Ontario. So the point is we've got to stop treating our water bodies as industrial dumping grounds. It's an old industrial age mentality that we've got to stop in New York State, whether it's radiological discharge, PFAS, or other chemicals. We've got to stop it. So the bill we have right now would ban it. We're working to revise it to sort of hone it a little bit more specific to this region because of the unintended consequences in the rest of the state and chemotherapy and things like that. So I'm hopeful by the end of this week we'll have a new bill. And, you know, we are pressing on all fronts. You know, we're grateful that Holtec delayed the discharge to give us time to talk as a community and become educated. And that's where we are right now.
So it's May 6th as we talk. So you're thinking by May 12th we'll have something out of committee?
Oh, not out of committee, but we'll have a new draft. So I already have a committee meeting scheduled this week for my committee, so it would be at least the next meeting.
All right, sounds great. What are the obstacles that you're seeing right now?
Well, the obstacles are possible preemption, and the other obstacles are none of the options are good options, to be quite honest. Storage has its drawbacks. Evaporation obviously has its drawbacks, and trucking it across country to inject into the desert also has its drawbacks. So, you know, really what we want to do is thoroughly vet all the data. You know, NRC and EPA were very disappointing in their appearance that the guidelines for safe levels are 3 and 4 decades old, respectively. That's unacceptable. No consideration of cumulative impacts. So there's a lot more work to be done.
How optimistic are you?
Well, with no good options, I would not say I'm optimistic. But, you know, look around. You see how galvanized a community is. And I have never seen anything like this in my 5 years in the Senate. So this is a great start. And with the community behind us, we can accomplish a lot.
I mean, there's a lot of tables set up in the back to get petitions and letters to the governor and everything else.
Indeed. So it's a great day to be here. I'm going to have to run, but thank you. Good to see you as well again, sir. And thank you for your interest. This is such an important story. You know, the Hudson River is sacred. This is the birthplace of the American environmental movement. And we've spent generations and billions of dollars to clean it up. And this is a bipartisan issue nobody wants to see.
Yes, you have Republican and Democratic sponsors.
Absolutely. And we also have Republican county executives and town supervisors who are supportive of our efforts. So it's a great day to be here. It's a great unifying day. And we just keep moving forward.
Well, thank you, Senator Harkin.
Thank you.
And Ecologic has been talking about this for about 6 or 7 weeks now.
All right. Well, thank you for your coverage. It's important. Thank you. Okay. Great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Take care.
One statement during the rally stuck with me. Speakers repeated Holtec's excuse for dumping radioactive waste into the Hudson River. Entergy and Con Ed had been putting radioactive waste into the Hudson, so what's wrong with Holtec doing it? One of the politicians said, now it comes out. Anti-nuclear activists have been talking about radioactive emissions for decades. Decades. It's true. That's how nuclear power plants work. They're called routine emissions. When I wrote Chernobyl on the Hudson, that was my major theme. Clearly, the information never filtered to political offices. Con Ed, Entergy, and the NRC did such a good job of keeping it secret, and the elected officials did such a good job of not listening to environmental activists that routine emissions are a surprise. Now it comes out. Now will you listen to us? That was a rhetorical question.
The bill was indeed revised and reintroduced, and therefore has new bill numbers. A-7208 in the State Assembly and S-6893 in the New York State Senate. Contact your state legislators to give your opinion on these bills. A-7208, S-6893.
Westchester singer-songwriter Fred Gillen Jr. wrote River of Money as a direct response to Holtec's announced plans to dump radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River. Was Fred Gillen Jr.'s River of Money. That song is applicable to almost any threat to any waterway.
Hope that you are enjoying this special edition of Ecologic. Keep listening for more environmental stories. A win for Liberty State Park, a welcome delay about Oak Flat for the San Carlos Apache Nation and the Apache Stronghold, and revelations about Chevron's greenwashing, as well as an interview with the filmmaker of The River That Harms about the Church Rock Rio Cuarco nuclear disaster that befell the Diné of New Mexico, and a discussion with three experts on butterflies.
Our usual time is on 6 a.m. on Saturday. Please let us know you appreciate Ecologic with your contribution to the station Call 212-209-2950 to become a voting member of WBAI for just $25, or even to become a WBAI buddy for a monthly donation of just $10. Some of us spend that on just a few morning coffees. We thank the wonderful Susanna Glidden of Westchester for her generous donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic. People tell us all the time that they love WBAI. Now is your chance to put that love into action. Please send us a donation to keep us on the air.
Ecologic serves you and the community with many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being and that of the planet. We don't take corporate donations, which is why you are so important to us. WBAI continues only because of listeners like you, and we have to ask for your help, or how will you know what we need? Ecologic brings you actions you can take: rallies, marches, direct actions, letters, emails, petitions, concerts, webinars. It's all important. Not all of us can get to remote actions, but there are many ways to support, and that includes supporting WBAI and Ecologic so we can continue to bring you activists, journalists, eyewitnesses, and more, along with environment and music and artists. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950.
We really hope that you'll take the time to look through our list of premiums. We're sure you'll find something you'll want for yourself or as a gift. You can find all our premiums on ecologic.wbai.org. By the way, leave off the www.
As we discussed on a recent show, advocates rallied after a shareholders' meeting of Monopoly Utilities Southern Company on May 24th in Atlanta. Our guest on that show, artist Bernie, is the founder of Cosmic Poetry Sanctuary and an eco-activist with Arm in Arm for Climate. He was quoted in the event's press release saying, "A symptom of lithium toxicity is an inability to sleep." Imagine that. So it's not just crystal meth out here creating these insomniacs. I think Southern Company has something to do with that. Artist, who works for environmental and economic justice in Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, told us of his efforts to get real information to listeners at a radio station that was dependent on corporate funding. He refused to hide info and was taken off the air. He wishes that they had listener-supported radio in his area and said how important it is to have a voice that is not controlled by the biggest wallet. It's so important to have listeners, not corporations, paying the bills. We all need to do our part to ensure that coverage is not limited by profit interests. On Saturday, we'll have more. So join us this Saturday for Ecologic at 6 a.m.
We support every environmental issue. So a donation to us is like supporting many groups. We talk about actions, seminars, lobbying efforts, and more. Help us to help community groups get the word out.
You know that WBAI has been going through a most challenging time and can really use your support to continue. If everyone listening donated $20 or more, we could probably make our goal. So we're hoping you will be able to do your part, because it's only by working together that the station will continue. Please show your love for your radio station.
The continued existence of WBAI and Pacifica is critical, especially so at this time when social media platforms and government agencies are censoring free speech. It's imperative that this radio station remain viable.
What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It is the air we breathe and the water we drink and the creatures with whom we share the planet. Indigenous folks acknowledge them all as relatives.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. We call out bad actions and celebrate positive steps. We watch for actions to back up statements and call out empty rhetoric and greenwashing. Support us. We really hope that you will help WBAI and the Pacifica Network. You're hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in to help. You listen to Ecologic, so be a part of it. Annual membership in WBAI is just $25, so join us as a voting member, or even better, as a sustaining BAI buddy for $10, $15, or more dollars a month. Just making any donation today lets us know that you're listening, that you care about Ecologic and WBAI. Support your show. Call 212-209-2950.
212-209-2950. And if you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
Has been hosting Ecologic on BAI for more than 20 years. So we've covered a lot of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have made it onto DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. On the website, ecologic.wbai.org, we have more than 25 items from which you can choose. They make great gifts as well as treats for yourself. Or maybe you could find just $10 or more a month to be a sustaining BAI buddy. But any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly appreciated.
Welcome to the second hour of your Ecologic special right here on WBAI New York, the 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. A pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children.
Solar power, ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is second hour of a special Ecologic May 31st, 2023. We want to thank Catherine Davis for all her efforts putting together this fund drive to support WBAI and for scheduling this time for us to visit with you in this time slot. Our usual time slot is 6 a.m. on Saturday. Yeah, I know. Keep up with us via www.ecoradio.org or our Facebook page, Enter Eco-Logic.
We like to start our shows with good news, and we're going to start our second hour with good news.
Friends of Liberty State Park are taking a victory lap with the new revitalization plans. Jersey City Times reports that last week, New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection Commissioner Sean LaTourette told a large cheering crowd that commercialization of the park is off the table, with the announced revitalization plan including remediation of the internal area to include miles of trails with scenic outlets, 61 acres devoted to active recreation, and two athletic hubs. neither with details, which are to be determined by a 23-member task force, not yet finalized. The task force is to be guided by public input as well as consultants, so we will keep watching to see who is on the force and announce the opportunities for public input. The plan is supported by the governor, who is late on board, but at least is on the right side. For now, it is a decided defeat for billionaire Paul Fireman and his high-admission commercial venues. It's too bad that Mr. Fireman spent so much money and insulted so many lobbying for overdevelopment. Had he put as much effort into creating something for the community, for instance, the ball fields he says he wants, but on current city and county land, he could have actually enhanced his community reputation. Shame on him.
Yes, shame on him. Some of our listeners may have seen emails about Oak Flat, a site sacred to the San Carlos Apache Nation in Arizona. Even though it never consulted with that nation or the Apache stronghold, the Biden administration was considering issuing a final environmental impact survey that would have triggered a land transfer, including Oak Flat, to a mining company with a terrible track record of violating human rights, devastating ecosystems, and destroying indigenous sacred places. The planned copper mine would have completely destroyed Oak Flat. Thousands of messages later, Apache voices and those of their allies were heard. The timeline has been delayed, and the next step to save Oak Flat would be to pass Representative Paul Grijalva's bill, the Save Oak Flat from Foreign Mining Act. That's the Save Oak Flat from Foreign Mining Act.
Next, we're presenting one of our most popular movies, The River That Harms, along with an interview with the filmmaker. Excuse me. Colleen Keane set out to make a feel-good movie about the Dena people of New Mexico and instead learned about the worst nuclear accident in U.S. history when in 1979 the Church Rock Dam along the Rio Puerco burst and flooded miles of uranium mill tailings down the river.
Chris Shuey, an environmentalist who investigated the cause of the accident, discovered that United Nuclear knew there were problems with the dam long before it broke.
It noticed cracks in the dam over time and took pictures of those cracks. Those pictures of those cracks in the area of the eventual dam break were never released to the state agency until after the dam break.
Instead, UNC patched up the dam with bentonite, a type of clay, and continued to dump its uranium waste into the overloaded tailings pile. Soon afterwards, a chemical reaction between the bentonite and the acidic wastewaters created new cracks in the dam. Meanwhile, the swelling weight of the tailings pressed against the mended wall and the cracks grew larger. Then at 5:30 in the morning on July 16, 1979, the dam broke with a force that sounded like a thunderclap. Following the path of the river, the spill rushed past the Church Rock community, the city of Gallup, and the Navajo village of Manuelito near the Arizona border. Then it traveled farther downstream past Sanders, Arizona, and the Petrified Forest National Park. The spill reached the Little Colorado River, a distance of 120 miles. After the Church Rock catastrophe, the state shut down the mill and ordered the company to clean up the waste. The cleanup and the forced shutdown cost UNC millions of dollars. But most of this money covered losses from the forced shutdown rather than the cleanup. In fact, observers have described 40 workers with buckets and shovels attempting to clean up miles of radioactive waste. The cleanup concentrated on only 10 miles of the river, where radioactive hotspots settled after the flash flood.
On the reports that I've seen, it certainly doesn't begin to account for the total amount that was spilled, that while there was some cleanup, it appears to me anyway, that the vast majority was never really accounted for.
Dr. Al Goodman, a physiologist, has been studying the health impacts of uranium mining for a number of years.
The release of radioactive water into a stream with no concern as to who uses this water, where it ends up, also I think, well, it upsets me tremendously.
An investigation of state records and interviews with state officials reveal that New Mexico failed to protect the Navajo people from the obvious dangers created by uranium mining. State officials permitted UNC to begin constructing their Church Rock Dam before it had been licensed. Then the state licensed United Nuclear without inspecting the dam. After the dam broke, the state allowed UNC to continue operating before all of the waste from the spill was cleaned up. Instead of forcing UNC to clean up the riverbed, both the state of New Mexico and the National Center for Disease Control merely recommended that the Navajo people keep their animals away from the river and warned them not to drink the water.
We were told to keep our children away from the river, but we can't avoid the river.
The officials told us that our livestock should not go near the water. But what are we supposed to do? We don't have any other water for them.
They place out some signs along the Rio Perco, but that was about all they had done. But, you know, animals aren't going to read signs and say, I can't go down in the river and, you know, not drink the water.
They told us not to live too close to the river. But where can we go? There is really no place for us to go.
And we have with us here on WBAI New York, Colleen Keane, the filmmaker. And that line about primitive man's fear of fire is you know, a person's fear of radiation just angers me every time I hear it. Mm-hmm. And yet,
when the UNC official was, it was a derogatory statement how he was expressing it. It was from it was just very derogatory. But that was his comment. And they didn't make, didn't want to go on camera. They wouldn't agree to a full interview, but he did comment on a few things over the phone.
Yeah, I would imagine he doesn't really have any facts he can stand on. So, yeah, I can see why he wouldn't want to come on camera. But I guess the average person doesn't know much about radiation, so in a way that's accurate to almost every American.
Yeah, of course, we're all in fear of it.
Yeah, our science education is so poor that people don't realize what it does and what it can do. And the point about, we always talk about radiation causing cancer, but of course it causes other problems as well. You know, if it can cause cancer, it can certainly do other things. Just a whole slew of medical problems. But again, we're talking about real people with real lives that you got to meet and you got to film. And I'm glad you did.
And one thing to bring attention to is there was a request at that time for the Center for Disease Control to do a baseline study. And what I understand is that they didn't do a baseline study on cancers because it was too small population. They said it wouldn't be significant. And unfortunately, if there was some kind of baseline done at that time, they could tell, how much the cancers had increased during that period of time and till today.
Well, sure.
So that was one of the things. In other populations, a baseline study would have been done. Automatically, it would have been
done. That's a beautiful example of environmental racism right there, that they didn't bother to study them.
And I do understand that there have been cancers of people in that area from an area from Church Rock down to Manuelito is about probably like 20 miles, and there is I've heard of people that I interviewed have died and had cancer and passed away. So it certainly, and when you look at, this is high desert, and so we're close to the sun here, that could be one. But there's other considerations, the consideration of the wastewater that UNC used constantly, and that spilled down the Rio Perco and got into the dirt, and that could be carried to other to people as well as to animals. So there's different exposure levels here.
Yeah, I guess if you're going to be in business of uranium, you have to be cavalier about it, or how could you be in that business? But just because they're cavalier about it doesn't make it any less dangerous.
Yeah, and since I didn't have the opportunity to talk to them personally, I don't know what their thinking is, and what I would have liked to have really heard what is their position. And but UNC did make a lot of money over the years, and then it busted. You know, that's why they folded the company. There was a stockpile of uranium.
Yeah, and Leona Morgan
said this.
So it
pulled out when it was no longer profitable, of course.
Yeah, she said there's 500 uranium mining and milling sites in New Mexico. And that's an awful lot of radioactive pollution.
Yeah, I don't think I said that.
No, she did. Leona Morgan was out here for Climate Week, she was lecturing at the United Nations and at different groups throughout the area. She was at SUNY Stony Brook and talking about this and showing your film, by the way.
Oh, good.
A lot of people saw The River That Harms through Leona when she was here.
Oh, that's really good. I think, the film has a life of its own, and I think it comes from the elders. I think, they wanted their voices to be heard. And usually films don't last this long. This is 26 years or 27 years, and they are no longer relevant. But it's interesting is that the relevancy of it seems to be more now today than it was, over the years, where I didn't get a lot of attention over the years.
Cancer has a latency period, and I guess movies about cancer have a latency period. But I kind of wish it wasn't relevant.
It's a beautifully made movie with great production values. Colleen is a wonderful filmmaker. And we don't have time to present the whole movie, but you can get it for a donation of $40 to WBAI. The clip we just played and several other Ecologic clips are on the new Best of BAI thumb drive that can be yours for a donation of only $99.
Ecologic has been covering nuclear issues all along, from the dangers of nuclear power to the closing of Indian Point to the decommissioning activities after a nuke closes. Ecologic has become a go-to place for nuclear information not colored by the nuclear industry and its ads on commercial radio and TV from greenwashers and sellouts.
Yep. You're listening to an Ecologic special right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Catch our weekly show every Saturday morning at 6 a.m.
WBAI is different from other radio stations. We are independent community radio. We need you for WBAI and Ecologic to exist.
When I'm out driving and listening to random shows on BAI, I'm impressed by the variety of voices and issues, the important subjects, from our environmental focus to free speech, militarization, local politicians, music in a variety of styles, and from many cultures. WBAI is just such a wealth of information that can't be heard elsewhere. I've been listening to WBAI since high school, more decades than I care to mention, and it has always provided news that I need, news that I would be missing without WBAI. You'll hear some of those same shows on Best of BAI Shows and Favorite Host Drive, which you can have for just $99. These programs are why we need your support. That is why you need to support Ecologic. That is why you need to support WBAI. Please show us how much you appreciate this type of programming by being a supporter. I guarantee you the appreciation will be mutual. Call 212-209-2950 or go to www.give2wbai.org or ecologic.wbai. No www.
The Pacifica Network was the first listener-supported radio way back in 1949. Created by pacifists after World War II. WBAI became part of that network 10 and a half years later, and listeners like you have kept us going ever since. For more than 63 years, this radio station has existed and continues only because of listener support. Ecologic takes pride in empowering you, our audience, to participate in helping with actions you can do on the important issues we expose and present. Participation also helps with funding our time with you. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI Buddies. That really counts. We really appreciate it. Call 212-209-2950 or go to www.givetowbai.org or ecologic.wbai.org. No www.
Many producers have contributed to the Best of BAI, shows and favorite hosts, Thumb Drive. It plugs into your computer, and you'll have almost 24 hours of great WBAI programming, including 2 hours of Ecologic. It's only $99. We contributed snippets of our best episodes, as well as a video version of one of the best episodes about Nature for All, or Birding While Black, with Chris Cooper and Jeru Lanham. Chris became famous a little less than a year after that show when a woman tried to get him beaten up, or worse, by the police, and his video of her racist actions went viral. He now has a show on the National Geographic Channel, but Ecologic had him on the air several times going back to 2002. Jeru Lanham teaches at Clemson University in South Carolina and won the MacArthur Fellows Program, commonly called the MacArthur Genius Award, for his work, quote, combining conservation science with personal, historical, and cultural narratives of nature. The entire one-hour show is on the Best of BAI Thumb Drive.
The Best of BAI Drive includes some of the environmental music we play, including songs by the New York City Labor Chorus, New York City Major Raging Grannies, Sharon Abreu, Judy Gorman, Joel Landy, Ray Corona, and Lydia Adams Davis. Two of those songs, by Ray Corona and Judy Gorman, are part of the Ecologic opening theme. Here's another song from the Best of BAI, Sharon Abreu singing The Balance from her Climate Change musical review.
That was Sharon Abreu singing The Balance from her Climate Change musical review. You're listening to an Ecologic special right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Catch our weekly show every Saturday morning at 6 a.m.
According to a new report from Corporate Accountability, almost all of the voluntary carbon market offsets that Chevron purchased and counted toward its climate targets between 2020 and 2022 are, quote, of low environmental integrity and therefore appear to be junk until or unless proven otherwise. More than half of Chevron's offset credits during these years, including almost all in 2022, were based on large hydroelectric projects, which don't actually reduce greenhouse gas or GHG pollution. The GHG Management Institute and Stockholm Environment Institute say, if the reductions would have happened anyway, without any prospect for project owners to sell carbon offset credits, then they are not additional, and purchasing offset credits in lieu of reducing your own emissions will make climate change worse. Most of Chevron's credits were purchased through Verra, the world's largest carbon credit certifier. A recent analysis found nearly all of the rainforest offsets sold by Verra have no discernible climate benefits, contributing to its CEO's decision to resign last week. The Corporate Accountability Investigation notes that, in addition to largely failing to reduce deforestation, these projects, quote, are also notorious for their negative impacts on indigenous peoples and local communities worldwide due to risks of land grabbing and loss of land tenure rights. Rachel Rose Jackson, Director of Climate Research and Policy at Corporate Accountability, said, Chevron's net zero rhetoric looks to be little more than a PR ploy to present strong, to prevent strong climate action while the corporation rakes in record profits and plans for further production or expansion in at least 20 countries.
Ugh. WBAI needs to pay its transmitter rent. Without a transmitter, do you know what you would hear? And nothing more. Please help to keep us on the air. Call or go online to donate what you can. A donation now helps us especially, but you can always call in when you have a spare moment and a few dollars to send our way.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle. That's why you listen to us, right? Including the climate crisis. Were you there in the beginning? If not, you will really appreciate some of the older recordings on the Best of BAI shows and favorite host drives. If you were, they will bring back some great memories and probably some not so great ones. Either way, remembering our history protects us against a new iteration of the evils of the past, and really hope that you will step up to help keep us going. We need you to help keep WBAI and the Pacifica Network broadcasting. Call 212-209-2950. And donate in the name of Ecologic, 212-209-2950.
Here's one more clip from a past episode of Ecologic, one of our Celebration of Nature shows, featuring three butterfly experts with captivating information.
Yeah, I noticed at the vivarium that some butterflies land on people and some never do. So I suppose that that's just sort of individual habits?
Yeah, well, their behavior varies a lot. There's a more toxic type of butterfly that we call it a paper kite, a big black and white butterfly that flies very slowly and doesn't seem to have a care in the world and lands on people all the time and just doesn't seem to be afraid of anything. And then you get some of these little delicate heliconius butterflies that are very skittish and don't ever land on, or hardly ever land on anybody. And are very easily spooked, and everything in between. And also depends on the stage of life they're at. When they're older, they slow down like we do, and they don't move around as much, and they're easier to handle because they're just not as active.
And I hate to be disillusioning, but the ones that land on you, it's not love. It's they're looking for salts and nutrients in your skin. And the ones that do that in nature that would be on the ground puddling are the ones that are more likely to land on your skin. And the ones that are strict nectar feeders will probably be less likely to do that.
Right, and they do that in the wild as well, not just in the vivariums. I was just out in Indiana at the Lepidopterist annual meeting, and the two butterflies that were doing that to me, again, landing and drinking sweat, were the tawny emperor and the hackberry butterfly,
wow.
Which will do that reliably, and most butterflies will not do. Most of the butterflies in Indiana were not doing that, but those ones.
I'm going to have to tell a monarch story. I was at Point Pelee. Point Pelee during monarch migration around Labor Day, and we were watching the monarchs migrate over Lake Erie, coming from Canada and going all the way across, and some of them would just barely not make it, so we'd scoop them up and put them on a plan and stuff. But a lot of them, I was the tallest person in our little group, and I was wearing a hoodie. I had a little point to it.
And the monarchs started, one of them landed on my head. And once one of them landed on my head, then a bunch of monarchs decided, oh, that's a safe place. And suddenly my head was covered with like five monarchs.
And oh, I hope you got a photograph.
And I got a photograph and it didn't come out. Something happened. It was back in the days of 35 millimeter cameras. And if I would walk in one direction, they would sort of be in a circle around the point of the hood. If I walked in a different direction, they would like parallel park.
In lineup.
It was the weirdest sort of thing. All my friends are delighted. I couldn't actually see it. So I really regret
it. Yeah, dark blue hoodie with these bright orange butterflies lined up on your head.
It's a strange sort of thing. But I was also fascinated because, of course, some of the monarchs didn't quite make it. Now, if we weren't there, would they have died, or would the wave would have died?
Yeah, a lot of them die. I don't know. I don't remember what the percentage is that's estimated that make the whole trip, but it's a very small percentage.
If you go out on pelagic trips in the fall, you'll see
trip going out in the ocean.
Yeah, out in the ocean to watch birds. And I actually haven't done this in a couple of years when the monarchs have been thinner. But if you have a good monarch here, you're going to have monarchs streaming south over the out towards George's Bank and stuff like that. And they're not going to live.
Right.
They're not going to make it all the way. But they're following their instincts, and they don't really know where the next land is going to be. Right. And so a certain number of them are just going to go out there, and that'll be it.
Not to give any thumbs up to the oil and gas industry, but the monarchs that fly down to Mexico have been known to use the oil rigs out in the Gulf of Mexico as stopping off points.
Yeah, birds do the same thing.
And that helps them out. What can I tell you?
Everything is related, and we're just about out of time. So, any final words to listeners, especially the gardeners out there?
Just for gardeners should be aware that they can make a difference more than with birds and with many other kinds of wildlife. Individual effort can actually contribute to stabilizing and increasing, either by having host plants or if it's a really dry year to provide nectar so that the adults don't sort of perish in a local area. And it's an area where you can both have fun, increase your enjoyment, and also do something that's useful.
Yeah. I know there are urban gardens with butterfly plant areas, so that when a school group comes to the garden, they can go right to that place and hopefully see something.
Right. I'm sorry, but I'm going to talk about monarchs again. There's a... That's why I feel that it's
one of my apologies was
right. Right. No, but there are websites that will.
It's a bit of an in joke.
There are websites that will send you milkweed seeds that are appropriate for your vicinity for free, because people are trying to increase the host plants for monarchs, especially for when they're migrating. So that's a good thing to do. I got some and planted them in my backyard, and hopefully some monarchs will find them when they're migrating through. But this is something anybody can do anywhere in the country.
I remember going to a anti-fracking protest for where Governor Cuomo was at the time, and one of the people had a whole tray of little milkweed plants. So here's somebody from Occupy Wall Street walking around with milkweed plants, save the monarchs and handing them out.
My last thought would be for people to get out and see and enjoy the incredibly diverse fauna that we have here in the Northeast. I'll give you just one quick example. In all of Europe, there are five swallowtails. In all of England, or Great Britain, there's one swallowtail, and they call it the swallowtail because they only have one swallowtail. In New York City parks alone, it is not difficult in a season to see five species of these magnificent swallowtails, including the giant swallowtail, which is making a very big inroads in the Northeast, the pipevine swallowtail that we talked about that feeds on Aristolochia, the black swallowtail, the eastern tiger swallowtail, and the spicebush swallowtail. There's no place in Europe. There's no city in Europe where you can see five swallowtails in a season. And sometimes in New York City, you can see four or five in a day. And so people should appreciate the incredible fauna and diversity that the Northeast has to offer.
I
had been reading about Monsanto's Roundup, which has this chemical glyphosate, which turns out is decimating the monarch butterflies and other populations of pollinators. because of the crops they're putting in, ready Roundup Ready GMO crops from Monsanto, with corn and soybean, like you were seeing all over Indiana, and also cotton. And it's killing off all the milkweed plants, so there's nothing for the monarchs. So there's like 90% population has declined in less than 20 years. So check out act at fwwatch.org. That's Food and Water Watch. And find out more about that. Act at fwwatch.org.
Well, thank you, Mercy Van Vlack, and thank you to Carol Butler and Harry Zerlin and Rick Tech. And this is Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
That was a clip from our Butterfly show, which Charlie Olson of the Environment TV turned into a DVD. A show about butterflies is perfect for a video version, and Charlie did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
That DVD is part of a package about butterflies and bees that contain two DVDs. Butterflies, Their Beauty, Conservation, and Importance, three lepidopterists, butterfly experts, and a former butterfly collector, and Ecologic, Bees and Pesticides, with Reverend Billy, Mercy Van Vlack, and Len Labrizzi.
You're listening to an Ecologic special right here in WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Catch our weekly show every Saturday morning at 6 a.m.
Say this enough. Let's work together to keep this show and BAI on the air. Now we need you to show us that you care. Yes, it is serious. Yes, you have heard it before. Yes, this is different. We are at a crossroads, and your participation makes a difference. To paraphrase Pete Seeger's well-known quote, participation, that's what's going to save the human race. Thank you, Pete. Ecologic brings you actions you can take, letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions. It's all important, and the nitty-gritty of raising funds is also part of that equation.
Please consider taking the next few moments to pick up the phone and make that call, or go online and make that donation. Contributing now shows that Ecologic is important to you, that you care about protecting our air and water. It's a win-win for you and Ecologic. The number to call is 212-209-2950.
You can send a check or money order directly to WBAI for your membership and or premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
The full version of the song that stars every episode of Ecologic, Judy Gorman's This Earth.
On the bus to Boston, watch the winter trees like feathers against the sky. Brown hills long for spring that's coming soon, and the singing blackbirds fly, and the singing blackbirds fly. Oh, people, people, don't you love this earth we share with everything that grows? Don't you want to taste freedom and peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it home. I turn from the window to read the papers of madness, new lies, old greed, and another weapon more frightening than death, when we could cherish the earth and sing. Cherish the earth and sing. Oh, cherish the earth and sing. People, people, don't you love this earth? We share with bare cities of fiery hopes for this earth, this spinning jewel. I swear that before our time's done, I want to see this old world renewed. See this world renewed. See this world renewed. See this world. taste freedom and peace in this life. I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole. On the bus to Boston, watch the winter trees like feathers against the sky. Brown hills long for spring that's coming soon, and the singing blackbirds fly, and the singing blackbirds fly. Oh, people, people, don't you love this earth? You share with everything that grows. Don't you want to taste freedom and peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole.
That was Judy Gorman's This Earth, originally on the Swords into Plowshares double vinyl album. Judy now
there
has
is so much to report on.
The Judy Veterans now has a lovely rule.
Spent a week in New York, New Jersey Harbor on its big loop from the headwaters of the Mississippi River through the Gulf of Mexico and up the East Coast of the St. Lawrence Seaway. They had events on both sides of the Hudson River, and I was able to get to the Liberty State Park on a very rainy Saturday, May 20th. About 40 or 50 peace activists and allies came out to greet the crew, sing along with the Solidarity Singers, learn about the Golden Rule's mission to end nuclear weapons and get the United States to sign on to the global treaty, and to learn a little about the history of the Pavonia area and the park itself. We may have been wet, but we were also inspired. We'll be watching for the Golden Rule when she visits more briefly on July 4th.
Here are two events you can attend. And by the way, Judy Gorman has a lovely video of This Earth on YouTube.
Thursday, June 1st at 6 p.m., there is an activist briefing on Local Law 97, New York City's Green New Deal for Buildings. It will be held at New York Communities for Change, 470 Vanderbilt Avenue in Brooklyn, and also has an online option. Will the Adams administration let the real estate industry buy its way out of pollution and reductions, or hold their feet to the fire?
Local Law 97 is one of the best energy efficiency laws any city in the U.S. has. All buildings above a certain size must divide the square footage of their buildings and the number of BTUs they use to heat it. That will determine the number of BTUs per square foot. The results are graded A, B, C, D, and F. There are fines for failing. Hopefully, they will actually have to pay those fines. Years ago, I arranged a meeting with Brooklyn City Councilman Steve Levin and Chris Benedict, who is one of the greenest architects in the entire United States. She suggested that bit of arithmetic, and I'm very glad to see it has become law.
On Friday, June 2nd at 1:30 p.m., you'll want to listen in to a congressional briefing on Zoom. Experts, including former NRC Commission Chairperson Greg Yasko, will discuss the potential role, or lack thereof, of nuclear energy in addressing the climate crisis. The registration link is on our site, www.ecoradio.org.
You're going to love the special premiums created for this fund drive. It's called the Best of BAI, Shows and Favorite Hosts. And we're part of those favorite hosts, by the way, and is a $99 donation. Ecologic has contributed snippets of our best episodes, as well as some of the environmental music we play.
We're sure that you'll enjoy listening to these programs from the past and present WBAI shows. You may be familiar with some, others may be new to you, but you are sure to appreciate the wide variety of WBAI programming. Call 212-209-2950 to become a member and get one of these special premiums. That's 212-209-2950.
Mainstream media largely ignores the issues of fossil fuel extraction, nuclear power, energy efficiency, the right to repair, public hearings, environmental justice, and so many other environmental issues that you'll hear regularly on Ecologic. Corporate profits rely on dirty energy money. Even NPR famously accepted frack gas advertising. You'll never find that on WBAI, which is part of the reason that you hear us asking for your support so often. We need you for WBAI and Ecologic to exist. Ecologic and WBAI continue to offer you important news, information, and entertainment. Radio might seem free, but there are costs, and our listener-supported radio station needs you. Call 212-209-2950 or go to www.givetowbai.org to become a member and check out all the special premiums available to you at ecologic.wbai.org. Leave out the WW. That's 212-209-2950. Give to WBAI.org and ecologic.wbai.org.
Ray Corona, a musical hero of ours at Ecologic, wrote and sang songs on a variety of political and social topics and was a longtime member of BAI and supporter of Ecologic. One of his environmental songs is part of Ecologic's opening theme. Here's Listen to the Earth.
See it riding up the river, heading right this way. Black smoke from the power plant, another sour day. Everybody's got allergies, young people move away. If you want electricity, that's the price they make you pay. Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know. We listen to the earth. We use oil to heat buildings, but it does much more. Fouls the air with emissions, greenhouse gases soar. We'll do anything for oil, drill the planet to the core. Trade a beach for a waste site, bomb a country, start a war. Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wind, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth. When I go outside at night, I really want to see stars. Not the blur of deadly smog around a planet full of scars. Save us, don't buy that lie. Just make sense as a solution to someone who'd like to die. They say nukes make good neighbors, they're safe, they certify. Till they leak radiation or blow sky high. Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
That that was Ray Corona singing Listen to the Earth. It's one of the songs on the Best of WBAI Thumb Drive. Hours of listening pleasure available to you for only a $99 donation.
Wow. Well, it's time to wrap up. So thanks for joining us this morning. I dedicate this show to two wonderful, kind, dedicated activists who have passed recently. Alan Gutkin with Hudson River Sloop Clearwater and Shelley Lucky Stein with 350.org. Love you guys.
Join us this Saturday for a special Ecologic at 6 a.m. for the latest news. The information on a variety of topics, visit us at www.ecoradio.org. That's ECORADIO.org.
Most of the WBAI staff, including us, are volunteers. WBAI is community radio. We're listener-supported. There are lots of ways to get involved. And, of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found on ecologic.wbai.org. Leave off the WW and on give to wbai.org. To become a member, that's what we like. Or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, that's what we like even more. Call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic Buddy pledges.
And we love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter Eco-Logic.
Our thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We couldn't do this without you. Thank you, Michael.
If you missed any of this show, it will be on the WBAI archives in about 5 or 10 minutes. And all WBAI shows are archived 5 or 10 minutes after the show ends. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Donna Stein. Join us every Saturday for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Or you can also find us on the WBAI archives. We link to each past episode on our website, www.ecoradio.org. That's ECORADIO.org. Join us this Saturday, June 3rd, as we play the Nature for All, a.k.a. Birding While Black, DVD with Chris Cooper and Drew Lanham. As Chris and Drew told stories of their encounters with birds, Charlie Olson included graphics of what they were talking about. It's a beautiful DVD. You're going to want it.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth. So
give me the
99.5 FM, WBAI, New York.
Hi, this is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM.
WBAI's 2023 Local Station Board election is here, and we invite you to participate. Join or renew your membership by June 30th to vote or run as a candidate. Make a minimum donation of $25 by calling 212-209-2950 or visit wbai.wedidit.it to become a BAI buddy today. Make sure to give your email to receive your e-ballot. For more information, visit elections.pacifica.org. There you will find the voter guide, candidate nomination package, and nominator registration. Candidate nomination packets must be completed by June 30th. Any questions or concerns? Contact the Pacifica Radio National Election Supervisor by emailing nes@pacifica.org or leaving a voicemail on 213-635-9363. Thanks very much. It's 99.5 FM, WBAI in New York and online at WBAI.org.
Joy of resistance. We're sisters of the joy of resistance.
This Thursday, June 1st, between 10 a.m. and noon, join the Joy of Resistance for a two-hour special celebrating 21 years on WBAI. We've unearthed treasures from our archives and are going to offer you a flash drive with over 17 hours of women's history that you probably didn't know about. You'll hear the story of the fight to add the word sex to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the women who started the Montgomery bus boycott, how radical activism in New York City led directly to Roe versus Wade, and much more. That's Thursday, 10 a.m. to noon. History that will knock your socks off and give you hope.
Government, religion, husband, father, brother, gonna define our existence.
Mostly plant foods like fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and beans is good for your health. I use beans instead of meat in my grandmother's jerk-style recipe. And when I'm at work, I get a tofu vegetable stir-fry.
I like to get a whole wheat veggie hummus wrap for lunch.
Fresh, frozen, canned, or dried, eat a whole lot more plant foods when you can. For free recipes, resources, and food assistance, call 311 or visit nyc.gov/nutrition.
If you're on Medicaid, the Essential Plan, or Child Health Plus,